just like every other storm that we've been going through, it has had a deep impact in our life. Now, in the providence of God, we started Psalm 190 with the Holy Spirit's help. I believe it can have a very profound impact in our life, that it will have such an impact in our minds and hearts that we will not only read God's word every day without fail, but we will love to do it, right? We will enjoy to do it with all our heart. We will look forward for a time where we can spend, you know, in the word of God. And this Psalm 119, it's called an alphabetical psalm. There are 22 paragraphs. Every paragraph, you know, starts with the Hebrew alphabet. Okay, all the 8 verses, every para will have 8 verses, and every para, every verse of that para starts with the Hebrew alphabet. Now this psalm, you know, I was thinking, this psalm we can call it as a school, we can call it as an hospital, we can call it as a gym. So today I welcome you to join me this school of truth, where we will learn the ABC, in fact the A to Z of heavenly wisdom. I welcome you to this soul medical hospital. All the different kinds of spiritual diseases that you and I suffer with, and we long for a healing. This psalm will show a perfect healing for all those soul diseases that you and I suffer from. And we can call this psalm is a psychological hospital. You and I, like psychological patients, we always get depressed, right? I welcome you to the psychiatric hospital. This will refresh your spirit, fill your soul with joy. And if laziness is your problem, I welcome you to this gym, where with all kinds of gymnastics and, you know, exercises, training that is done in this psalm, it will make you exercise, it will increase your stamina, it will make you very active. So in a way, it's a one-stop shop. All that, that I said, the psalm will do it by increasing our love to the word of God. And after you study this psalm, you finish this 22 para semester, you will graduate as a grown, mature, and more perfected child of God. You will grow in grace. The saint said, all graces grow as our love to the word of God grows. Right? And that's how the psalm will help us grow. So are you ready to join the school of wisdom, the soul hospital and the soul gym? So imagine today is the first day. Right? We have joined this new school, school of truth, and today is the first class, and so we will be taught the ABC. And you know the what is the first lesson in this school? Verse 1, blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Now the first day of the school, we are all sitting there, we're all excited. And our teacher is Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit takes the stage and invites us into the school. And you know what the very first word that he says? He tells us the goal of this psalm. He tells us the goal of this school. The very first word is blessed. That's the goal. Pastor, why should I go through this 119th Psalm, the longest chapter in the Bible? If you spend time, if you grasp the truth, if you practice these truths taught in this psalm, you will be blessed. Okay? So let's understand this verse, the 3 AD. What does it mean to be blessed? The way of blessedness, the means of blessedness. Okay? All that in verse 1. What is blessed? You and I, created in the image of God, we are all seeking something. and we don't even know what we are seeking, isn't it? You just ask your conscience. No, we can call it, I'm looking for happiness, Father. I'm looking for peace. No, it is a rest. Psalm 4:6 says, there are many who say, who will show us any good? We're all seeking for something good. That's the cry of the world. Every human is seeking something which is good. And all men, think about it, where is the world running? What are they intensely hunting after? They're all seeking for something which is settled. Right? They're all seeking, financially I want to be settled. Some fullness, some satisfaction. Right? Nobody is seeking for suffering, nobody is seeking for poverty. You know, even senseless animals, you know, they don't seek for suffering. We all are seeking something. And you know, Bible says, what every man seeks is this. What each of us are eagerly seeking is a state which is called blessed. Right? This long psalm begins with the word blessed. Psalm 1 begins with the word blessed. The very first psalm. The Lord, in the Sermon on the Mount, began the sermon with the word blessed. Wherever you are, whatever you are, all our life, you and I, whatever we are seeking, even at this moment, our heart is seeking something. You know what we are seeking? Bible says, you are seeking to be blessed. Right? And we have used this word so often, so much, you know. Have a blessed day. Anybody get it? You know, birthday comes up, it's all filled with the word blessed. And even somebody sneezes and all, bless you. Right? And something is so often used, we naturally become blind to that. Right? Familiarity also blinds us. Today, blessedness is different for different people. For some it is prosperity, for some it is an house, it is a car, it is a job, it is a good family, it is a good job. For some it is health. The Old Testament idea of blessed is the fullness, right? In Greek it is called makario. It talks about, it doesn't just include the worldly prosperity. It is an happiness. It is a state of happiness which is 100 times more than any worldly settlement or financial stability can give you. Right? It is a state where your soul, body and spirit attains a fullness. Right? Every part of your being says, enough. This is what I've been searching all my life. And Psalm 4:7 says, thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time of harvest. Right? That's definitely not anything that worldly things can give. The word makarios is a word where a man is blessed for time and eternity. He knows that. And he's so blessed that he reaches a state where he experiences constant deep joy, peace and rest. And it's a state which nothing in the world can disturb or take away from it. Whatever circumstances may change, we may face prosperity at a worldly level, there may be trials, there may be problems, but this man will stand like a rock, like the Psalm 1 man. Seasons may come, seasons may go, but this is like a man who's planted across the river, and every season doesn't disturb him. It actually makes him become more fruitful and it makes him more fresh. Think about it. Aren't you and me, in our deepest conscience, we are seeking a settled state of blessedness, of a state where our joy or our peace or our is not disturbed, right? A permanent fullness, a permanent settled condition which nothing can take away, right? That's what you and I seek. And the wonder of this psalm, as we join the first day of the school, the Holy Spirit says, this is the promise that I hold before you. I know this psalm is a big psalm. I know you may get kind of tired, you may get bored, you know, after long verses and all that, but you want to be blessed. This is the psalm that will make you blessed. And if you have to get that, right, if you have to be really blessed, there needs to be an operation in your mind and my mind. Right? There needs to be a brain operation. Because Psalm 119 is also an hospital like that, right? It's the diagnostic report, the scanning report of this hospital shows that there is a tumor in our brain. Because of our fall and because of the effect of sin, right? Sin has affected every part of our body, right? It has very deeply impacted our brain. And because of that, you and I have become some psychological patients. And there is a deep, deep, stubborn tumor in our brain. We call it a prejudice. You heard of the word prejudice? Right? You have a bent. You have a stubborn thinking pattern in a certain way, right? Because of your upbringing, because of whatever, and because of fallenness and depravity, you have a prejudice in your mind, and it's very, very difficult to take that. How much of a God says, this is the way of blessedness? We don't believe that because of the deep prejudice that we have because of our fall, because of a corrupted nature. God says, this is the way of blessedness. But because of a prejudice, we always go in the opposite direction. We stubbornly seek it in wrong places and through wrong means. Right? And so, we never attain blessedness. So every human being in the planet is seeking happiness. Why don't we achieve happiness? Why don't we achieve that blessed state? Right? The quest is right. But we seek it in the wrong way, in the wrong means. And you know why? Because we blindly think because of this fallen prejudice. Right? Because we've definitely fallen. And it has affected our brain. And there is a tumor which is called prejudice. Because of that, we think that blessedness can come only from the worldly wealth. Blessedness means riches. Riches. Will, once I reach a certain level of financial stability, I will attain unchangeable blessedness. Once I reach, you know, I enjoy all these pleasures of the world, I will reach. Once I gain these honors from the world, I will reach certain level of blessedness. God not only, you know, in His Word says that is wrong, but even proves it in the providence that we don't attain a state of blessedness in those things. We see it in our forefathers, our parents who have lived, and all the rich men who have lived for years, right? They've been seeking it in this way, but they've never got what they sought. They were disappointed. Sometimes we stand before graves of our parents and grandparents and who have lived such big lives, right? And, you know, we think, you know, what have they achieved? They seem to have wasted in worldly pleasures and worldly, you know, they lived for the worldly esteem, greatness, and what is its profit? They're all lying in the death. What did they enjoy? Because they neglected God's way and they went down to the grave. Yet, even though God used all kinds of examples, not only in His Word, in providence He shows that we will never achieve blessedness by that. Our default setting, a prejudice setting is we always foolishly seek that in the world, in the things of the world. Scripture shows that happiness, no? Not worldly kind of happiness. No? Scripture says riches, honors, pleasures, they fly like a bird. Right? The more you seek that, the more it will fly away from you. And, you know, in fact, sometimes it may add mystery to us. And God promises 1,000 times more happiness in the innest way. Okay? But our default setting, because of our fall, we don't accept that. Right? This prejudice mind, in our mind creates two things. Okay? Look at how our mind works. One, it creates unbelief in God's faith. Second, it creates laziness in following God's way. Unbelief and laziness. These are two enemies for blessedness. I want to be blessed. I want to enjoy the settled state of blessedness that God gives me. You know what? Blessedness comes to only those. God blesses those only. This blessedness that God gives can be attained only by two things. One, faith and full effort to obey God. Do you see? The first enemy of blessedness is unbelief. If you have unbelief, you will never attain blessedness. In unbelief, we think it is foolishness to seek blessedness in God's way. Right? To give time, to give effort, and even when we try little bit, when we face difficulties, when we face hindrance, we think it's foolish to persevere. And there are temptations, there are difficulties, our prejudice is so strong, even a small hindrance, small temptation, we stop seeking blessedness and happiness in God's way, and we take the next offer that the world gives us, and try to enjoy, try to find happiness in the present things, in the worldly things. And God is very jealous about this. Right? When we leave Him and seek other blessedness, He will ensure we always get disappointed by a carnal choice. And like Solomon, who tried everything under the sun to find true blessedness, and ultimately he said, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. So what happens finally? We not only get disappointed, it doesn't satisfy our full nature. Right? Our consciences get defiled, and it increases our troubles. They don't make us better, the worldly enjoyments that we seek instead of seeking God. They make us worse, they make us addicted, they draw our hearts from God. Sometimes they enslave us. Right? And that's why scripture again and again rebukes us. Why do you spend your money for which is not bread? Why do you spend so much of labor and efforts and run behind that which doesn't satisfy you? And many, many saints and many, many people write to us that why are you wasting? God has been saying that why are you wasting your years, and it costs us dear, many, many years of wastage of our life. And this prejudice, like I said, creates unbelief and creates laziness. Right? God says blessedness, this is the way of blessedness, I am telling you, try to do this. And we become very lazy. And sometimes we grumblingly do it, we are hesitant. God never gives blessedness to lazy children who are not willing to pay the cost. Blessedness comes with diligent effort, constant seeking. Right? Just we have to believe that God can bless me with a blessedness that the world can never offer. Second, we should pursue that with all our heart and soul and strength. But our prejudice is a great hindrance for that. Right? Sometimes we hear God's word, we are all very excited, we get the conviction, but it's all short-lived. Slowly our efforts all, you know, become cold, we start off all with eagerness, then we back off. Right? We don't persevere because of the cost. Right? We hear about God's blessedness, we hear about God's blessings and because the spiritual blessedness, and we want all that, but we are not willing to pay the cost. Just like Israelites heard about the promised land and they wanted it, right? Who never wanted it? That's why they left Egypt. But when they realized the way to the promised land is through the wilderness, is through testing, and they have to face the enemies that they have to fight, they drew back. Right? They gave up pursuing the Canaan. Even, you know, you and I as Christians, we don't attain that blessedness because we don't want to pay the cost. We all want blessedness to be easy and automatic. Like children, right? They desire something very passionately and they want to do, become that and this, and when they realize how difficult it is, when they realize the challenges, they forget about all that. The wise man says, the soul of a sluggard desires, he has lot of desires, but gets nothing, for his hands refuse to labor. That's a great problem you and I have. We really want to be blessed by God. We really want the blessedness that that the Lord promised, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessedness, blessedness. You really want that. But our prejudice doesn't allow us to believe that this is the way of blessedness, and we refuse to seek it with efforts in the God's way. So we settle for a worldly kind of blessedness, and we don't know what we are missing. You see our soul. So this is the first diagnosis of the psalm that is presented to us. Unless we understand our diagnosis, we'll never be able to solve this. So the first 119 psalm, the soul diagnostics run in each of our brains. There is a tumor of prejudice, of mind, and that's a greyish hindrance. If you don't remove that, we will stubbornly think happiness for us comes in the world, not in spiritual things. So we'll have to put all our efforts and time and energy to seek the worldly things. What about spiritual? In Hindi they say, chalta hai. Right? Prayer, Bible reading, scripture, seeking God, a chalta hai. Chalta hai attitude, right? It's okay, it can happen. That's because it is because of the tumor that is there in the brain. You don't realize that. The carnal mind with all its gymnastics, it comes with evil reasonings and it deceives our heart. And our heart affections and desires run after worldly things, and we don't believe that we can be fully blessed and happy in the way of God. Right? And our carnal heart doesn't allow us to believe these spiritual things. And it's a very strong bet. Much of a, the first step of blessedness, right, is not keeping, you know, being satisfied with all these cheap blessedness, but ask Holy Spirit that He must conduct an operation in our mind and remove this brain tumor of prejudice. Until it's the work of the Holy Spirit, right, until He removes that, we will never believe, our eyes will never be open to see that there is great blessedness in the way of God. And we will be always lazy in seeking it. Right? And God never blesses those who don't seek it with faith and those who are lazy. Right? Many times we may be doctrinally right, but practically we may fail, right? There is a notional kind of faith. Yes, yes, yes. Solomon said that, you know, nothing under the sun can give us happiness. And we have a notion that everything is vanity. But we are not brought under the power of these truths. Our heart is not influenced by that. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit. It's easy to, you know, just argue. It is easy to give a speech that the worldly pleasures, you know, the bodily pleasures can never satisfy us fully, can never help us to attain the fullness of blessedness. It's easy to preach about vanity and deceitfulness of riches. And unstable foundations are these for the soul. But to draw our heart away from these things is the work of the Holy Spirit. See how much it is important for us to understand what blessedness is. The first step for us to overcome unbelief that resides by default settings in our heart, right? This prejudice that is there that, yes, yes, and we will agree, okay, yes, yes, and we will listen to all the preaching and our mind will say, yes, yes, no, world will never give us happiness. But, you know, the prejudice always is there, it's doing its work. It is creating an unbelief, it is creating a laziness. So to remove that prejudice, it is the work of the Holy Spirit, and see the infinite value of the blessedness of God's way. So as we begin this psalm, let's begin as patience. Right? Realize that he has this problem. A great prayer to the Holy Spirit should be, Lord, open, just like David prayed, Lord, open my eyes. Lord, remove the spiritual tumor of prejudice from my mind, which is because of the fall. I think blessedness, happiness is only having a full stomach food, only going on vacations, only seeking enough money and all that. That's how I am prejudiced, Lord. Show me the true blessedness. What does it mean? Right? You come with that humble prayer and to know what true blessedness is. The psalmist tells us the way of the blessedness. Okay? You've seen what is the blessedness. Let's look at the way to be blessed. What is the way? Verse 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way. Right? Completely opposite to all that we think. It's against all our thoughts, and that's why I say it's a prejudice. psalmist says, if you really want to be blessed, if you really want to find the blessedness, that complete attainment of blessedness, you have to live a life, undefiled life. That's the way. This is the way of blessedness. Out of many ways that you may be living, out of many ways that you may be choosing in this world, you have to determine to walk carefully in a way in this world that you live undefiled. Blessed are the undefiled in the way. And the first hearing itself, again, like I said, a prejudiced heart may rise and say, definitely this is not the way past. If this is the way, then no one can be blessed. Who can live undefiled? Right? Of course, this is spoken about a saved child of God, whose sins are forgiven, who is justified, and who is adopted as a child of God, in whom dwells the Holy Spirit. Now, as he is walking in the path of sanctification as a child of God, he is careful and he is very conscious that he lives his life in an undefiled way. It's not talking about perfection, again, right? Strict, absolute undefiledness, but it is talking about the sincerity, the sincere attempt and sincere diligence to ensure that I don't defile myself in any way. Sincerity of sanctification. That's what it means. If you and I truly want to be blessed, like God says, truly blessed in every area of our life, like Deuteronomy 28, blessed in your family, blessed in your offspring, blessed in your work, blessed in the church, blessed in the soul. If you truly want the full blessedness of God, you can find only when you ensure you don't allow yourself to be defiled by sin. James 1:16 says, you carefully endeavor to keep your garments unspotted from the world. And this is the constant care to avoid offense towards God and towards men and towards God. And we are cautious and watchful, right? When we sin, you know, we humble ourselves about our sins, and we are always cleansing our heart and always endeavor to walk in more holiness. Undefiledness. That's what it means, undefiledness. That doesn't mean we never sin, but when we sin, we ensure that we cleanse ourselves, repent, and with full purpose turn to God and work in a way where we don't get undefiled. This is what will lead to true blessedness. There is a diligent and constant effort to keep our hearts pure. It doesn't talk about being defiled, being undefiled once a week. Look at that, undefiled in the way. It talks about a lifetime, right? Some of us may live like that for a week, and for 2 weeks I maintain myself, but soon we run out of that perseverance, right? This is the perseverance of saints. Walking in a lifestyle where we don't allow ourselves to be defiled by the world. Right? More you, so that's how you become blessed. That's how you become happy. You really want to be happy in life? You have to ensure that you don't defile yourself with the world. How opposite this is, right? And the opposite is true. The more you allow yourself to be defiled, the more you will never experience the true blessedness of God. Ask your conscience. Honestly, do we believe that this is the way to be fully blessed? To be supremely happy? No, our hearts will never allow us to see this, right? And that's why we don't take effort towards this. What? Just imagine if you really convinced, the Holy Spirit opens our mind and shows us that undefiled in the way is the true way to be happy. I don't want to spoil my happiness. I don't want to get into guilt and shame and unhealthy state. How careful we are not to hurt ourselves. How careful we are not to spoil our happiness. If we truly believe that holiness and walking undefiled is the way for happiness. Right? If you truly believe, we will ensure we take all care and efforts and diligence to be pure. Right? We don't think like this because of our sinfulness, because of this tumor that is there. we always separate holiness from happiness, don't we? Right? Yes, I have to be holy. I have to go to church. I have to pray. I have to read. But I have to be happy. So I have to watch TV. I have to run after the world. Brain tumor. That's why I call your psychological patients. Spiritual psychological patients. A brain tumor never allows to see that these two are one. And one is the means for other. True happiness comes from holiness. Oh, that's why we should pray, people. Unless Holy Spirit removes that tumor and makes us, you know, makes us realize this, we will all live with a notional Christianity. The Puritans will call it notional Christianity. You know what? You say, yes, yes, that's correct. But, you know, practically we are atheists. We don't follow that. Practically we don't believe that, you know. We have a notion that maybe it's true. Right? Our mind with all the gymnastics may object to reasoning. Our hearts may cry, oh, it's impossible, right? It can't be this way, but this is the way. And you may say, it's impossible to live like this in an undefiled way. Oh, how can we live undefiled in a defiled world, Pastor? Okay, the psalmist not only tells us what is true happiness, he tells us the way for happiness. He also tells us the means of this happiness. What is the means? Look at verse 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way. What is the means? How do I live undefiled? Walk in the law of God. The law of the Lord. Wow. The only means that you and I can live an undefiled life and experience, thereby experience true happiness in life. The makarios in life. The only means is the law of God. See, again, we will, our prejudiced mind will say, what? Law of God? We thought law will spoil our happiness. How can law be the only means for happiness? Oh, again, Holy Spirit, you have to remove the tumor in our mind. Only then you will see this, right? You will see the law was given by the loving God who desired our highest happiness. He wanted us to enjoy life to the fullest. Be blessed in our life. And that's why he gave us law. If you want to be truly happy, we have to be careful to live our lives according to the law of God. Right? The law of God has to be the rule of our life. The law of God, you know, last week I said, talks about the authority of God. Right? It was given, it applies to the Ten Commandments primarily, and then the expansion of Ten Commandments is the Bible, right? The entire Word of God. It is the law of God alone that can make us walk undefiled in the way. It alone is sufficient, you know, to convince us of our sins and guide us. Because sin is the primary cause for all the sorrows in our life, right? It's only the law of God that will help us to navigate in the right path and guide us to true blessedness. Law of God is the secret of all order and joy in life. Right? All the angels, though they are free from human needs and death, they are all perfectly happy. Why? Because they perfectly follow the law of God. Adam was perfectly happy as long as he followed, walked in the law of God. All sorrow came when we disobeyed the law. The goal of the law is the highest happiness of man. And some dispensationalists argue that there's no more law. That's such a stupid thing. I think all of us are, again, delivered from that. Is another brain tumor. We're all delivered from that. Law for a Christian has to be the rule of life. Christ did not abolish the law. He fulfilled it, right? Our lives are so miserable thinking because there is no rule or law for us. We wake up every morning and we want to do what we want to do. We feel like praying, we pray. No, we want to feel like reading the Bible, we read. There is no law above us that controls our day-to-day activities. And that's why our life is a mess. Right? We are led by our emotions, by our feelings, our own desires and inclinations. You know, Jude 16 says, walking after their own lust. Can I say our life is not progressing, not achieving anything, not happy, not blessed? It's because we don't control our lives under any law. And we make our own laws, those laws that are suitable for us, right? We may please ourselves, you know, but that will never lead to blessedness. That will never lead to blessedness. And we may think that we are doing pleasing God, but the law of God, God alone has the prerogative to give that law, and He has given that law. It is the law if you follow, right? And think about Deuteronomy 28, you know, the fullness of blessings. And then 28 and 29, He talks about the curses and the blessings. You know, just read the curses, read the blessings. You know, never find what you see if you don't follow the law. But He says if you follow that, you will find real blessedness. See, the problem is with us, why does our Christianity become dull? Because we try to live by rote. We try to live by habit. We don't study the law. We are not careful to keep the law. Right? We don't regularly study the law, the rule that says that you should worship the God and should not take the Lord's name in vain. You should ensure that your mind is focusing. You should have fervency when you pray. You're diligent when you are praying and worshipping. No. We become cold. We become traditional. We become customary. Fine. And we are not conscious of the law of God about prayer and scripture reading, and we become careless. We are not conscious about the law of God in husband-wife relationships, family relationships, and we defile ourselves, and our lives go uncontrollable in the pleasures of the world. So here is the psalmist. You want to be happy? Ensure that you walk in the undefiled way. And the only way that you can walk undefiled is if you walk in the law of the God, right? This rule must be consulted always. James 1 beautifully says, it is not people, be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourself. Right? Who is blessed man? He who looks at the perfect law of liberty and he abides in that law. And it's not a forgetful hearer, but that's the work. And this one will be blessed in what he does. Wonderfully, I think it's a New Testament interpretation. So, you see three things. What is blessedness? What the way of blessedness is undefiled in the way. The means of the blessedness is people who walk in the law. So, what is our hope? We are affected so much with the tumor, right? And the glorious blessings of the new covenant graces, God has promised that He will remove this prejudice from our heart. He will remove this tumor from our brain, and He will write His law in our heart. And He will enable us to see that the true way of blessedness is through the law of God. We can see this promise, right? Lord, show me the true way of blessedness. I see my problem. I see my depravity. I see why I don't believe, and why I don't take effort, and why I don't pray and read Your word. Seek the way of blessedness, as You say, and run after opposite direction, and I defile myself always. Now I see the way of blessedness. Help me, O God. Let's pray.